Welcome back to On the Throne, where you, the listener, reign supreme. I go by the name of Princess Daweti. And yes, I'm with Lihlonele in our segment, our mental health segment. And yes, we are joined by Ruth Colony from Student Counseling. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's lovely being in your studio.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay. So, we're looking at mental health.
Yeah.
And our topic, obviously, today is letting go of your past. Mm. And obviously, this is something we like, okay, you don't know if you can control it. You don't know if there is means of controlling it. I just feel like naturally, you know, that should happen. Yeah, and we have a conversation coming up. Yeah, so we'll be talking about that. And our first question, and you said you'd like to ask us this as well and revert this question to us. So could you ask us the first question?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking before we could even start chatting, we needed to define mental health.
Yes,
indeed.
And before I came with what I think it is, you represent the student body, and I thought, I wonder what Princess and Lihlo think.
Yeah.
How you define it, so I'd like to hear from you.
Okay. I feel like mental health is basically when someone has no mental illness.
Okay.
Yeah, when someone can think for themselves, because we have like situations where like people can't think of themselves in different situations.
Interesting. I personally think mental health highlights all issues, be it depression, be it anxiety, stress. I think it involves all of those and also seeks solutions to those. Yes.
Okay. Because I was going to add to that, because for me, mental health is a state of well-being.
Yes.
Yeah.
But as you said, we have the anxiety, the depression, and all of that, which affects our mental health. So, you know, I don't think anybody at any time has all their ducks in a row. Even as we're sitting here, there are some challenges. But we are able, if we are mentally healthy, we are able to balance the different roles and the different dimensions in life so that we can cope. And if we do it really well, we will thrive. And then we can make a contribution to the institution, to community, to our families, and we can realize our potential. So that's, if you're mentally well, you can achieve that. Live well, eat well.
That's true.
So that's where I'm coming from.
Okay. That's great. We're gonna be asking more questions, but first of all, we're just gonna pay some bills quickly, and we will be back with you, Ruth. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Cool. Welcome back to On the Throne, where you, the listener, reign supreme. We're still tuned in to Madiba's Radio. Yeah, so we're still continuing with our topic today, letting go of your past. And we're still talking to Ruth from Student Counseling. So, yes, welcome back. So our next question that we'd like to dive into is, what are the different dimensions or areas of life that we have to balance?
That's a great question, and it's great because this gives me a chance to just tell you that two of my colleagues, Dr. Hannah van Ningen and Daura Gradage, they actually developed a questionnaire for students.
Okay.
Other institutions are using it.
That's
so they've
great.
Done really well. And it's called the Wellness Questionnaire for Higher Education, so you can see how you're doing in various dimensions.
I also like how broad this is.
Yeah, in terms of your mental health.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's the physical dimension, which is your commitment to physical fitness and diet and protective behaviors. Then we have the career wellness, which is refers to your satisfaction with your career choice and to develop your competency for future employability.
Yes.
And then we have the intellectual wellness, where you engage your mind in stimulating mental activities. There's far more. I'm just doing a very brief overview.
Yes.
And not forgetting the environmental wellness.
Yes.
Because we live, we know the whole green thinking.
Yeah.
And then a key one is also social wellness, about meaningful relationships, giving, caring, tolerance, diversity.
Yes.
And we probably camp around some of these. There's the emotional wellness, understanding and accepting yourself.
Yourself, okay.
And then spiritual wellness, which is faith, yes, religion, and broader. So those are the dimensions, and you can fill in a questionnaire, and you can see how well you're doing, and then you know, oh,
these
are the dimensions.
Are the areas I need,
okay, to be paying attention.
That's actually that's a very good way to start,
yeah,
because you actually don't know, or you aren't even aware which areas need focusing,
yeah,
on. Yeah. So our next question is, could you describe the impact on a individual's mental health when he or she is stuck in the past, when they can't let go of an issue?
Okay, so, you know, when people get stuck in the past because, mm-hmm, if you think about it, it's probably an experience or something someone said, didn't say, something did or they didn't,
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
And very often, it's the meaning I give to it.
Mm.
And so I could be sitting here in 2018, and the issue happened in 2015.
Yeah.
But it's still alive.
Yeah. Still affecting
and it's still
you.
Exactly. The power of that incident.
Yeah.
It still has as much power as it had then. Maybe it's even gained more power because,
yes,
this person or incident is squatting in my head, taking up prime time. So I'm, yeah, sitting in a lecture and I'm sitting there, but I'm actually thinking about what had happened to me.
That's so true.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't realize this, but you reliving those
that
moments
is true.
And you're putting more life into them by keeping them in your head. And we were talking about this earlier with the team. We were talking about how traumatizing that could be as,
yeah,
well. Because now here you are, you can't move forward. You're just stuck in the past.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah.
So how do we resolve these personal issues? And is there a formula that can an individual follow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually,
that's good to know.
I'm a student counselor.
Yeah.
So I find the students would come in and they're dealing with, you know, we have, especially we spoke about the different wellness dimensions.
Yes.
So the emotional,
mm-hmm,
knowing myself,
yeah,
and understanding,
yeah,
myself, and then the social, interacting with other people, because we have issues with ourselves, with others, with parents, with lecturers, with institutions.
Yeah, true.
And if we don't solve it now, we take it into companies, into marriage, into relationships and family.
That's true.
And
yes,
it's toxic. So I used to sit with my students and they seemed to be tied to this issue. I thought, how do you move away from this issue?
Indeed.
And so when I had an opportunity to do research, I chose the area of letting go of your past, and that I focused on interpersonal forgiveness.
That's a big one, actually.
Yeah. And there was a particular model. Now, there's many theories and models you can use, but
mm-hmm,
the one that I really enjoy and like, because it's very simple,
mm-hmm,
is the one that Robert Enright,
mm-hmm,
unpacks for us. So he's got a four-stage process.
Mm,
now,
yes,
the nice thing about having a little process, it's like an emotional map.
True.
So you kind of know where you are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if we take a trip from here to Cape Town, by the time we get to George, we're like, oh, we're halfway.
Yeah.
So how do I know I'm halfway?
True.
And if I'm on the right road,
mm-hmm,
to my destination. And that's the purpose of having these little theories or these steps.
Mm.
And, you know, you can go forward, you can go back. It's not linear.
Mm-hmm.
So we allow for that, but at least you know you're moving in the right direction.
Wow.
I'm
learning a lot from this. I mean, first of all, I didn't even know that you first need to identify. You first need to seek the problem, then identify it. Because most of the time you think, well, this is what it is. But in actual fact, something else is driving that. So that's very satisfying to hear. So so what is the first stage?
Okay, the first stage is a very interesting stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the uncovering stage.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several sub-steps that you can go through.
Yes.
You don't go through everything because people are different. But the very first thing is that you need to admit that you've been hurt, that I've been hurt.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, sometimes I don't want to admit that I've been hurt because I'm proud or I want to appear a certain way. But when I admit that someone's hurt me, I will say to somebody, I'm really angry at so-and-so.
Yes.
But I won't say, I'm hurt.
Yeah,
that's actually very true.
And so when you acknowledge you hurt, you can now begin to ask, so this happened, and what's the consequences of this? Let's just take divorce, for example.
Yes.
So someone goes through a divorce. They not only lose a partner, but the children might lose the dad or the mom. And then financially, they're not stable enough. They have to move home. They have to move schools. They can't have the same friends. So there's layers of pain. And we think one thing has happened, but there are several consequences because of that. And so, and the other thing, another aspect that he brings up in this is shame. When you put in the spotlight because of something that's happened that was beyond your control, now you still have to deal with the element of shame, as well as sleep patterns being disturbed, appetite being disturbed, you know, depression. A lot of things happen to us because of one incident, and that's why we've got to be very careful when we interact with people, because our words and our actions have consequences. And then you were talking about you know, that thing that stays in your mind. It's an illegal squatter, and it's taking up prime space. And I kind of say, you know, that's a penthouse there. How long is that person going to be sitting on the leather couch, sipping champagne while you're in depression? You've got to kick that person out. You know?
Oh, wow, that's a great way of looking at it, yes.
Yeah, they're taking up prime space, man.
Oh,
and in the meantime, your grades are falling and your relationships, because this person's taking up prime space. But another part is that when you keep thinking about it over and over, you are, we call it rumination. It's a toxic thought. You're strengthening that thought. You know, just like you study and you go over something, you
Well, I thought, like, if you think of it all the time, maybe you just, like,
that's a way of letting go.
Yeah, getting it.
And it's not, hey?
And it's not.
You're embedding it. You're making it stronger and stronger, because you see what's attached to it. And I'm just going to digress a bit. What's attached to it is you start with unforgiveness, where you keep the record. But when you add feelings, resentment, you go into retaliation. Because you're adding feelings to it. You never just think about a thing it. And apart from that, you compare yourself to others. And so finally, when we get to the end of digging through this and uncovering the layers of pain, we got to realize that our world's not the same anymore. Things have changed. And I think sometimes the person struggles to acknowledge that things have changed. Because only now you can get to a place of deciding whether I will let go, I will forgive. And so the interesting thing, and the main emotion that the person experiences here is probably anger.
I can relate to that.
So a lot of us might actually be stuck in unforgiveness without realizing it, and we're not moving past stage one.
Okay, so what makes the second stage a challenge?
You know, the second stage is the easiest or quickest in a way, but it is the hardest, because it's the decisions phase. I have to make the decision. And it's a cognitive decision. It's not, I feel like I must forgive. I actually am going to decide. And then I need to stay committed
to that decision.
Like, I speak to the students as well. I say, are you interested in your work, or are you committed to your work?
Interesting take.
Are you interested in forgiving, or are you committed to forgiving? Because if you, let's go back to academics, if you're interested in your work, you will only do what's essential. If you're committed, you go into the no excuse zone.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
So if I say I want to forgive, and I'm not just interested in this when it's comfortable for me, I am committed to this, then I will stay on track.
Interesting. Well, we'll be continuing with, we're going to wrap it up after the news. So you're still going to stay with us, Ruth.
I'm enjoying the conversation.
Thank you so much. Yes, and you're still tuned into On the Throne, where you, the listener, reign supreme. This is Madiba's Radio. We are at the Kraal South Campus. Yes, we are about to wrap up our topic for today. And we're obviously looking at mental health, and we're looking at ways of letting go of your past, and how if you don't let go of your past, it affects you, and it can affect you for years. And that's, you can realize that it's actually wasting time or delaying you from getting what you want. So we're still here with Ruth from Student Counseling. And continuing with the questions, we want to know, at which point does one get breakthrough in the third stage?
Because it's hard work, hey? Once a breakthrough somewhere.
Yes.
So the decision, I just wanted to mention with the second stage, the decision to forgive is not so much about the other person, but it's about yourself. Setting yourself free. That's the letting go. Because it's like carrying baggage from one day into the next. So yes. I can decide I'm leaving it here. On the 17th of October, I'm leaving it right here, and I'm going ahead, and I'm not going to be tied to this issue through this person anymore.
Yes.
Okay? So it's about the issue, not the person, but then usually it causes division in relationships. So in the third stage, and this is the hard part, because we so focused on ourselves when we hurt.
True. That's very true.
And in the third stage, Bob Enright says, now I need you to consider the person who's hurt you. Do you really think, Lishle, that person was born bad?
No. Ugh. No. And you know, this is true with something I went through this year. Mm-hmm. Is that if you do start thinking of the other person as a person, mm-hmm. and do start thinking about the good qualities they have, and also start considering that, hey, yes, that happened, but that doesn't overall make them a bad person. Mm-hmm. You find yourself letting go of
the
thing.
Like, guys, please make me understand. Like, here's a scenario. Okay, I've been raped. How can I think of that person into a good perspective after what he has done to me?
This is very interesting.
I am so glad that you asked
or
that question.
Like, someone murdered my mother.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, both. The person who designed the REACH model of forgiveness, his mom was actually murdered on New Year's Eve. And he's a professor, Everett Worthington, and his master's student had pulled him into the area of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was developing in this area, this happened to his mom. It was really hard because he said he sat there in the room with his brother and there was this baseball bat and he says, if I could get hold of that person, I'll just shatter him. And he says, at that moment, I wondered if there was a difference in my heart between myself and the person who had committed the crime, because we have that anger that's there, even though we can understand it. And I had the privilege of working with a rape survivor. And when we got to this, because people think forgiveness is just tearing up the debt and throwing it away, the emotional debt. It's not. It's saying something bad happened to me. Remember, you can still go ahead with the justice system. The person can still be punished.
Yes.
Right? Because it's a crime against humanity and against that person. But this is about me and that person, what they did to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we got to this stage, the person said to me, oh, this is really, really hard. And the more we spoke about it, she said, you know what? I suddenly realized that this is actually another woman's son, and that he is not evil incarnate. And I wonder what happened in his life.
That
I
made
really
him
wonder. But it took a journey getting there.
Yeah.
And so she was able to step back, and she said to me, she said, Ruth, I'm beginning to feel sorry for someone who can do that to another person. He's got a long journey to go, a long way to healing. And so it was a matter of perspective.
Mm.
The same with a father sometimes who is an absent father or a difficult father in the house.
Yes.
We don't, oh, this was what I was going to say. You don't realize that sometimes it's coming down the generations because he grew up, your father grows up without a father. Your grandpa grew up without a father. And then my question is, are we going to take responsibility for drawing a line and saying all the anger that's been coming down, all the patterns of dysfunction that's been coming down, I am going to draw a line right now and I am going to create legacy for my generation.
Yeah. Wow.
That's really important.
Wow. And then our last question is, how do I know that I've left the past behind? And this also, I want to know this personally. How do you know that... Okay, I'm actually moving on with life.
The last part is finding meaning. And I have to give credit to a really good friend of mine, Glenda Watson, who taught me about forgiveness through her own life. She lost her husband who was shot on the border. And then she also went through a divorce. And so she knew a lot of pain, especially having a husband shot. You've got three kids and you are 23, 24 years old. So, and I remember... she said, you know that you're forgiven when you can remember without pain.
Whoa. That is very true. That, you know, every time you speak, there are bells going off in my head. Check, check, check. So maybe I am on my way.
Wonderful.
Maybe I am on my way. Yeah, but just wrapping it up quickly, I wanted to ask, how is letting go of the past, how can it assure our way to mental health?
Okay. Just if we just think of our student population.
Yes.
We a lot of our energy is going into all these the baggage and the history. And so we sit there torn and defined by what has happened to us.
Yeah.
And so, as I said, they're going to class and they're distracted and then they sit and they study and they don't feel confident about themselves.
True.
So it's eroding your confidence and you're losing every time because of that. And so when we draw the line and we say, this is it, this issue will no longer have power over me.
Control.
Yeah. Yes, that's what it is. I always say, when I'm working with academic groups, I say to them, somewhere someone said something and you believe a line, it's shackling you.
Yeah.
Right now, you can step away and say, I realize that that is a lie. And I've given it power.
Yeah.
So I'm going to step away. I'm going to unshackle myself from that.
Yeah.
I am going to now move forward and I am going to define myself. This is who I am. I'm no longer going to be what that person or what I decided I was because of what had happened to me.
Yes.
So we can choose to define ourselves differently.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I hope you guys heard, you guys learned a thing or two, because I definitely did.
I definitely
Thank you
did
so
too.
Much, Ruth, for coming through and, you know, sharing your insights on our way to mental health. It's been a pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure from our side,
representing Thank you.
Student Counseling Princess in Lishlaw. And to the student population, we just want to say, remember, you are a masterpiece. You are someone with a divine destiny. You have a life assignment, and the world is waiting for the impact.
Ah, there you heard it from Ruth from Student Counseling. Thank you so much for joining us.